pray. Father, tonight we do give ourselves unto the hands of the potter. Father, I ask you to look upon us individually, look at our lives, Lord God. And Father, we give you the permission to shape, mold us, even remake us if we seem marred in your hand. Put us back on the potter's wheel and make us over again in a way that is pleasing unto you, Lord God. So tonight we submit ourselves unto the hands of the potter. You are the potter, and we are the clay. And we yield and submit ourselves to you tonight, that we may be made into a vessel of honor, a vessel that is pleasing unto you. And we thank you for the mighty work that you shall do in us and through us to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Tonight we're going to talk about our divine purpose. We all have a divine purpose, meaning that we have a purpose in our lives that originated from above. It did not come about through our plans and our thoughts. So many times we think that what goes on in our lives is something that we orchestrated, that we planned, that we set ourselves on a certain track. But tonight we're going to talk about our divine purpose. Now I'm going to ask some questions that may stir our thinking about purpose, some questions that we may not have thought about before. So here are some of these questions. Why are you on earth? Why were you born? Have you thought about some of these? Why are you in your generation and not a different generation? Why were you born with the color of your skin? Why do you have your personality? We all have some little strange things about us, some little quirks, some little idiosyncrasies about us. Why do you have your personality? Was that an accident, a coincidence? Why are you you and not somebody else? What is your purpose? Who determines your purpose? When was your purpose determined and established? What are the plans in your life to get you to that purpose? And who determines those plans? You know, it was questions like that in my life back in 1975 that set me on a quest that led me to salvation. All of a sudden in my life at that point in time, I don't know how old I was, mid-30s, I guess, I began wondering
the world began, where this thing came from, how does it end? Why am I in it? What's the end of me? You know, I begin wondering, why am I on earth? I mean, these were serious, heart-burning questions. Now, I may have seemed a little weird to be thinking those things and pressing into that, but I needed to know what the deal was. I did not think it was all coincidental. And I didn't know how the world ended. I didn't know how it started. I began studying stuff that talked about a Big Bang theory and an ice age. And now I'm ignorant spiritually at this point. I'm looking at worldly stuff, trying to get answers, natural things to get answers, and trying to figure out, how do I fit into all of this world and earth stuff? And that ultimately led me to Jesus Christ. Because we cannot know our purpose without knowing the one who created us. But let's look at some answers to some of these questions from the Word of God and laying a foundation. Now, the Bible says this in Proverbs 19:21, and this is in the New International Version. It says, many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. We make many plans. Now, I was very good at that. I could plan out anything. And even thinking I'm doing it for my own life. But it's the Lord's purpose that prevails. And many of us have been caught in this process of trying to plan and figure things out for our own lives. Psalms 33. Verse 10, 11 says, the Lord foils the plans of the nations. He thwarts the purposes of the people. But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever, the purposes of his heart through all generations. So we're getting a picture that the Lord has something to do with the plans in our lives and the purposes for our lives. Look further at Isaiah 46:10. And the word says, I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. I say my purpose will stand and I will do all that I please. In other words, God sets the end of a thing from the beginning. He completes something. He finishes something and he backs up and starts it. So God put divine destiny and purpose in your life before he started you, before you were born. So God sets the end of a thing before the beginning. Then he backs up and starts. So when we set out on a journey in life, that's really not the first time that this thing has happened. God has already finished it before he starts. So he knows what he's doing in our lives. So we cannot know the end of a thing in our lives without knowing him, because he is the one who has set destiny in our lives before we were born. Ephesians 1:11 God says, the word of God, in him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. So what that's saying, look at the word predestined. Pre means before, and destined means after. So he set destiny first. Predestined. We were predestined by God for some things in the earth before we were born. Now, we must understand that if we're going to understand the purpose for our lives. So God set something in a permanent way in your life before you were born. And if we're going to achieve that and reach that, we can only do it through Almighty God. Now, what is purpose? Give you some definitions of purpose. It's the original intent in the mind of the creator that motivated him to create a particular thing. You get the picture? It's the original intent in the mind of the creator that motivated him to create something. Now, that's true with anything. I mean, let's say somebody had to create this monitor. Now, they had an original motivation in their heart, in their mind, that motivated them to create this. So, purpose is that original intent in the mind of the creator that motivated them to create a particular thing. And the same is true in God creating you and I. Purpose also, the end for which the means exists. Get that picture? Purpose is the end for the why the means exist. It is also the destination that prompts the journey. Now, get the picture. The destination is here, but purpose is the destination that prompts the journey. Purpose is what causes me to move from where I am to the destination. Without destination, there'd be no reason for the journey. Because where are you going? Now, so we need to begin understanding this thing of purpose, because our lives have divine purpose. And we cannot be about our Father's business in our lives without knowing the purpose for which he created us. Now let's look at some principles of purpose. We want to look at some of these and help us get an idea of understanding this. Because right now in this season, God is raising up an army. He is raising up men, women, boys, and girls to move supernaturally in this earth, fulfilling the divine purpose for which he created us. And we must come into an awareness of what that purpose is. Now, let's look at some of these principles for understanding purpose. Number one, you make this personal. You were born with and for a purpose. I was born with and for a purpose. It was not accidental or coincidental.
Number two. This one is very important. Your birth is evidence that your purpose is necessary. God does not do things just to do things. Everything God does is intentional that fits into a divine plan that he has. Your birth is all the evidence necessary to show that your purpose was needful in the earth. Now, does not matter how you got here. God is the only giver of life. You may have gotten here by way of incest, rape. Your parents may not have been married. Does that matter? No, it doesn't. Your birth is evidence that your purpose is necessary. We must get over that one. Doesn't matter how you got here. You're here. And the fact that you are here is all the evidence necessary. So throw your head back and put your shoulders back and begin walking around in this earth as a supernatural child of God. Don't let nobody look down their nose at you based on how you got here. You got here because your daddy, heavenly daddy, put a spark of life in your mother's womb. And that's all that's necessary. Now, the fact that your purpose is necessary tells me that God has somehow, in the great scheme of things, carved out a place in his divine plan that you must fulfill. Are you getting this? See, we are more than we thought we were. We fit into a divine plan that Almighty God has established before time. Number three. God's purpose. Oh, this is a good one too. I think all of them are good. God's purpose is not hindered by your past. See, we tend to disqualify ourselves and allow other people to disqualify us because of our past. No. No, no, no. See, the Bible says God causes all things to work together for good for those who love him and who are called according to his purpose. So God, now y'all can give testimony to this. God has taken mistakes and sin in our lives and we've gotten off track and has weaved that thing right back into a perfect plan. See, we get off track. We all get off track. But God, in his love, in his wisdom, in his mercy, just so lovingly guide us right back on track and washes us clean as if we never sinned. The Bible says that we confess our sin. He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. When we get off track, when we sin, God does not fall off the throne.
He does not cancel out our purpose. Stands. Number four. Your plans do not and cannot change God's purpose. Now, understand destiny. God set something in place for your life and my life before we were born. So we can make all the plans we want. We can do things and try to plan things that go around what God has purposed. God just smiles. It's okay. You know, as parents, we do this sometimes with our children. We give them enough leeway to do some stupid things, knowing that they're coming back in line. So we be making all these plans. God just smiling. Now look at that little boy. Look at him. What do he think he is doing? Look at him out there. You know, we making all these plans, doing all this stuff, and God's purpose has not changed because it's destined. Number five. This is another good one. I had to learn this one the hard way. God provides for his purposes, not our plans. Now, have you ever figured something out real good? Made some real nice plans, didn't consult God with it at all. You know, this looked like the right thing to do. And you know, every once in a while, we was have this attitude with God. God, I got this one. I got this. And we don't even bother consult God, pray about it. And we strike out with this great idea. Looks perfect on paper. And you get out there, and the thing does not work. And we are saying, God, what? Why didn't you do something? Why didn't you prosper this thing? Why didn't you make this thing happen? God just looking at him. Look at him out there. He just playing out there. All them plans. Don't he know I don't provide for those things? I provide for my purposes. Number six. Ignorance of purpose does not cancel purpose. Now, just because we have not taken the time to get in the face of God to find out what our purpose is, doesn't cancel it out, doesn't eliminate it. It still stands because it was predetermined by God, our creator. Number seven. Ignorance of purpose will lead to abuse of a person or thing. If we don't know the purpose of something, we will abuse it. If I don't know the purpose of my life, I will abuse it. And a lot of abuse comes about because we don't know the purpose for things, and especially people. And number eight, ignorance of purpose is dangerous because it permits the possibility that we will live all our lives and never know why we lived. Isn't that sad? But that can and does happen every day. So we must seek out and know the divine purpose for which God created our lives. Because God is up to something. Something is happening right now in the earth that is not coincidental. Look around the world. I mean, Egypt, Iran. I mean, you go. I mean, if this thing is spreading. Look, even in our nation, stuff is happening. As we're in worship this tonight, look, he said, I'm shaking stuff up. And I said to him, just shake me, start with me, and shake us. He is moving. God has a purpose and God has a plan. And we are a part of that. Now, since it is God who determines our purpose and placed destiny in us, we cannot fulfill that destiny apart from God. And we must understand that. The plans of God for each one of us is for us to surrender to Him so that He can work through us. Now, God has put something in us. Jesus is in us. He is in us. We have the Spirit of God abiding within us. Do we really understand and appreciate what it means and the significance of having God the Father, Almighty God, His Spirit abiding in us? And being led by the Spirit of God. So God has put purpose in us. And He has equipped us with all that we need to fulfill that purpose in the earth. Now we have complicated this. The process is a rather simple process, but it's not that easy for us to do and fulfill because it requires surrender and death to self. This purpose that God has put in us can only be fulfilled by God Himself. We can't do it. Only God can do it. Only He can work in us and through us to bring to pass the purpose for which He created us. Is that making sense? Now, the Bible says in Philippians 2:13, it's in the King James, says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure." Now, it's God working in us. He is the one who brings to pass what His desire is in our lives. But we have to surrender and yield to the King. We have to surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ who abides in us. We cannot do it ourselves. We have tried. I've tried. I'm sure you've tried. Only God can do the work through us. But He cannot do the work through us unless we surrender and yield to Him. I know we've heard this before. And I know sometimes when we hear stuff like this, we sort of flip it off because we've heard it before. But the reality of it is we have not heard it. We have not heard something and know something until we walk in it. And that's one of the problems with the body of Christ today. We don't appreciate the power and authority of the gospel and the word of God. I don't. I am growing and learning day by day that the Father has to work in me to do this. Look at John 14. I want to say, I think it's verse 10. Now, this is Jesus speaking. And let's get a picture of what he is really saying here. And this can help us. Jesus speaking to the disciples, and they were saying, show us the Father, etc., etc. He said this, do you not believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? What I am telling you, I do not say on my own authority and of my own accord, but the Father who lives continually in me does his works, his own miracles, deeds of power. You get the picture. I mean, are you getting a picture of this? This is Jesus, the Son of the living God. And he is saying that, hey, that what you see me do, what y'all have seen me do, it ain't me. It is not me. It's the Father in me who is doing his own miracles and deeds of power. See, Jesus was totally submitted and surrendered and yielded to the Father. So when Jesus said to Lazarus, come forth, it was the work of the Father in him. It was the power and deeds of power of the Father working through him that brought Lazarus forth. When the woman with the issue of blood touched his clothes and was made whole, it was the power of the Father in him that healed her. He is not taking credit for himself. He's saying, look, what I say is not on my own authority or my own accord. It's not me. But it's the Father in me. He was yielded. He said, I always do what my Father tells me to do. I only say what my Father tells me to say. I go where my Father tells me to go. So the Father had free course to work supernaturally through him at all times. And the Father set destiny and purpose in Jesus as the Lamb that was slain from before the foundations of the world. Now, if this is the process that Jesus had to go through and to move in the authority and power of the Father, and he is our example and we are to be imitators of him, then why do we think it's going to be any other way for us? So as we submit to the lordship of the Father through Jesus Christ, then and only then can we begin to fulfill our divine purpose in the earth, because he has to bring it to pass. We cannot bring it to pass. Ephesians 2:10 puts us in further perspective for us. For we, speaking of you and me, we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, there's that word again, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. Now, we are God's workmanship. That's what we are. And we were created, born anew in Christ to do those good works which he predestined. Purpose. Purpose. We were placed upon this earth to accomplish the will and desire of the Father. When I first read The Purpose-Driven Life by Rick Warren, how many read that book? Anybody? The very first sentence in that book messed with me. The very first sentence in the book, it said, there you go, it is not about you. Now, I was probably upper 50s, well upper 50s, if not better, when I read that. And all my life, I thought at least a little bit about me. I mean, something. But the very first sentence almost made me not want to read that book. It is not about you. And that began to shake me. So I'm saying now, well, what is it about? And it's about him. It's about him. John chapter 15, I think it's verse 5 maybe. Yeah. Now, Jesus is speaking. This was another verse that the Lord used to shake me. I've been shaken a lot. Jesus said, I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever lives in me and I in him bears much abundant fruit. However, apart from me, cut off from vital union with me, you can do nothing. 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 Now, if you understand what is happening here, the picture that we're being shown is that it's the Father in us through Jesus Christ who is working in us. And we are his workmanship. Now, if we get cut off from that, we can do nothing. And God told me one day, and I was probably feeling a little bit too much of myself. And he said, not only can you do nothing apart from me, but you are nothing. You are nothing apart from me. But apart from him, cut off from vital union with him, we can do nothing. Nothing. Because it doesn't count to anything if we're not fulfilling the divine purpose for which God created us. I hope that we are being motivated to press more into the heart of God, to know what our purpose is in the earth. See, your purpose is not my purpose. And my purpose is not your purpose. God created us with and for a divine purpose, as he said to Jeremiah in the first chapter of Jeremiah. He said about Jeremiah that before I formed you in the womb, I knew you and approved of you as my chosen instrument. And before, you see this predestiny at work again. And before you were born, I separated and set you apart, consecrating you and appointed you as a prophet to the nations. See, all this happened before. And God did not just do this with Jeremiah. He did it with you, and me. He knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. He knew you and approved of you. Now, somebody is being blessed with that. He approved of you before. It didn't matter whether your mama approved of you, whether your daddy approved of you, or your auntie, or anybody else. Didn't matter whether folks looked down at you. Your father, your creator, knew you and approved of you. And he separated you, set you apart for his divine purpose. We were singing earlier tonight, no more shackles, no more chains. I am free. Freedom. Freedom. See, this can set us free from the core and at the core. Now, many of us are familiar with John Melende and World Trumpet Mission. Many have read his book and CNC, Set Apart for God. Well, there was a time in that ministry that God had given them a commission to go to the nations and awaken the nations. They didn't know how to do that. They thought initially they could just do it. Go and say, awaken. God is at hand. But that had been done and didn't work. So finally they realized they did not know how to do what God called them to do. They did not know how to fulfill the purpose God had called them. Now, I'm going to share when they finally went to God and got before God, what God told them, because this applies to you and to me. If we can catch this, we can begin moving in fulfilling God's purpose for our lives. This is what God said to them. By yourselves, you cannot do my work. It is only I who can work through you. The most important thing you need is to position yourselves in such a way that I can work through you. You get the picture. Now, God is calling this ministry, World Trumpet Missions, to the nations of the world. He is giving them an assignment that is so big that they realize they can't do it without God. And this is what God is saying to them. And he's saying this to us as well. Now, this is how you are to do it. First, give me your lives completely. Let it sink into your hearts beyond a doubt that your lives are no longer your own. They are mine. You have no right to your life. You have no permission to use your life the way you want, you have no say on your life. It's mine. I'll tell you what to do. I'll use it the way I want. I'll take it into circumstances I want. And I'll demand on your lives what I want. If you humble yourselves and adopt that attitude, then I'll work through you. Now you get the picture here. The first thing God is saying, we must understand that it's not about us. It's about God. And our lives belong to Him. Remember, He is the one who gave that spark of life that brought us into being. He is the one who sent His Son to die for us, shed His blood for us, so that we could be in relationship with Him. He bought our lives back by the blood of His Son. Our lives belong to Him. Now, isn't that the example Jesus lived before us? In the Garden of Gethsemane, as Jesus sweat blood, He prayed to the Father and said, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me, yet, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. I'm in earth to fulfill your purpose. When Joseph and Mary found me back in Jerusalem at the temple when I was 12, I explained to them that I must be about my Father's business. And this is my Father's business. My life belongs to Him. I have no say in it. And I'll lay it down for you, Father. And He laid it down. He surrendered His life to the will of the Father. Went right into the bowels of hell. The Bible says in Isaiah that it pleased the Father to bruise Him. Says in Hebrews 12 that it was the joy that was set before Jesus. You and me, He saw something. It was a joy that was set before Him that allowed Him to endure the shame of the cross. There's a song we used to sing. I don't know if I know all the lyrics. I'm not going to sing it, so don't get nervous. But it used to, some of the lyrics were, they hung Him high, they stretched Him wide. He hung His head and died. But that's not how the story ends. 3 days later, He rose again. I know Rita knows it. But it didn't end like that, because on the third day of His time in hell, the Father said to the Spirit of God, go get my Son. And He rose with all power. That was part of the Father's plan. So His life was not His own. If we're going to fulfill the Father's will and destiny for our lives, we must understand that. The second thing you need to know is that from now on, now I know this
Okay, yeah, that's what it is, Holy Spirit. This is the shaking he was talking about. Because he said he was going to do some shaking. I understand. This is the shaking. We're being shaken a little bit now because this is stretching us. It's causing us to shake a little bit. Okay, second thing you need to know is that from now on, there is no reason for you to be alive except to do what I've called you to do. It's the only purpose for your life. In other words, if you cannot fulfill my purpose, you would rather die. It's the only reason you are on earth. So whatever you do, whatever you plan, whatever you think, whatever you involve yourself in, it must have one purpose: to fulfill what I've called you to do and to do a good work. What do you think about that? See, God is raising up an army in this end time of supernatural men and women. I mean, are you getting a picture of this? Listen. We are going to turn this thing upside down. We're going to do what the disciples were accused of doing in Jerusalem. We're going to walk this earth in the mighty power of God. The Bible said of those disciples that they could tell that they were not learned men, they were ignorant men. But it was evident that they had been with Jesus. When you begin walking down the halls of your job, in your school, in the grocery store, wherever you go, begin expecting the power of God to move in the earth. We carry the very presence of Almighty God. And as we surrender to him, as we yield to him, he is going to break out of us. These temples can't hold the power and spirit and light and life of God. Cannot contain the glory of God. His glory is going to break out of these temples just as it did Peter in Jerusalem after the day of Pentecost, when his shadow began healing people, began laying people in the street just to have his shadow cast upon them to be healed. Begin thinking and expecting that. Begin preparing ourselves for that. That's our call. That's our purpose. To walk this earth just as Jesus walked this earth. That's our destiny. We are sons and daughters of God. The third thing is to adopt unconditional love. Don't relate to people because they are easy to get along with. Relate with people because I love them and died for them. Don't judge them. Don't undermine anyone. Don't pay back evil for evil. Submit yourselves to love. Let's go ahead and be shaken a little bit more, okay? This is one area in the body that we have to deal with. In fact, when this was the third item, my initial human reaction was, that ain't that important, God. Why you put that there with all them other things like dying and giving your life and my life ain't mine and all that? Why you put love? What the?
What love got to do with it? Well, this thing of love is vital. And we have to learn in the body how to love. God command us to love one another. He did not command us to like one another. Love one another. We confuse like and love. See, you don't have to like me, but you got to love me. See, like, what we like is a feeling. See, we know we like things that make us feel good, that, you know, etc. Like is a feeling. Love is not. Love is a decision. Agape love is a decision that we make. And we confuse the two. Love is vital in this process of submitting to the Father and having Him work through us. We must learn to love. You know, I did not learn what love was until our first child was born, until Tasha was born, 1981, correct? And I was, I don't know how old I was. I've been around a while. Because up until that point in my life, with my mother, my father, my sisters, my wife, there was always something. I understand love now. I mean, acknowledging that. There was always something that they could do to cause me to love them less. Hey, I got at least one witness in here. Now, when we had our first child, that was my first encounter with love. Because there was absolutely nothing, and I've said this to our children several times, and I said it to them now too, more than ever, because they are quote unquote grown. But there was nothing she could ever do to cause me to love her less. She could disappoint me, she could break my heart, et cetera, et cetera. But there was nothing she could ever do to cause me to love her less. That was my first encounter with love. And love is not a feeling. I mean, she and the others have done things that didn't make me feel good. You know, there's a song, I don't know who sings it, but it talks about... He's lost that love and feeling. Now it's gone. They ain't talking about love because it's not a feeling. They lost something. Maybe they lost some lust, some like, but it wasn't love because it's not a feeling. It's a decision. So we must learn in the body how to love one another and to make allowances for one another because we love them. Amen. See, the reason we must do that, and now in 1 John 4, it's probably 7 and 8, I think. 1 John 4, 7 and 8, we're going to look at this, and we're wrapping up. We have it's 1 John 4. Listen at this. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Next verse. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Now, let's put this thing in perspective. It's God who created us. He put divine destiny and purpose in us. He is in us. Jesus is in us. The Holy Spirit is in us. And God is love. Love is in us. So, he that loveth not knoweth not God. So, if we're not loving, we haven't submitted to God, because he is love. So, when we're not loving one another, we can go around and talk all we want. But the truth of the matter is, the Bible says, you may have the scripture, it's in John 4, maybe 20. It says, in essence, that he that saith he loves God and hate his brother is a liar. Now, you understand how that is true. Because God is love, and we say we love him, but yet we hate our brother. That is not true. That cannot be. And God wants us to so yield to him. And these three principles that he has set out for us, so that he can work through us. This is how we position ourselves for God to work through us, for him to do the work that he has purposed for our lives. Because he and only he can do that which he called us to do. We cannot do it ourselves. Last verse we're going to look at, then we're gone. It's Ecclesiastes 3:1. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. God lives and dwells in eternity. When a purpose drops from heaven to earth, time attaches. And when time attaches, the clock starts running. And God gives us, for every purpose in our lives, and for us as well, when something comes from heaven to earth, comes from eternity to earth, time starts to run. So he gives us the time we need to accomplish the purpose for which he's created us to do and fulfill. And time that is wasted on things other than the purpose for which God created us is wasted and it's lost. So we want to press into the heart of God, know the divine purpose of God for our lives, and be about our Father's business in the earth. Let's stand as we pray. Because I want God to so activate us, so move in our hearts and lives, that we surrender all to him, that he may work through us to accomplish his will, to accomplish his divine purpose. Father, here we are again. And we acknowledge that you are the potter and we are still the clay. And we submit tonight into your mighty hand that you may shape us to will and to do according to your good pleasure and purpose, Lord God. Father, look upon our lives, Lord God. Show us where we are not walking in that which you've called us to do. The reason that prompted you to create us in the beginning. Show us where we are not on track in fulfilling the destiny and purpose of which you created us. And Father, we will repent, Lord God, and get back on track.
to walk in that which you have predestined for our lives. And we acknowledge tonight that our lives are not our own. We have no say in our lives. We have no right to use our lives the way we want to. We confess before you, Father, that our lives belong to you. They're yours. And the only reason that we're upon this earth, the only reason we are alive right now, is to fulfill your purpose and your will. Because you have a plan in this earth. Because all the kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdoms of our Lord and your Christ. And he'll reign forever and even reign through us. And Father, I also ask you to teach us to love the way you love. The love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And I pray that we yield and surrender to love. And we repent, Father God, of those errors in our lives that we have not walked in love. Line us up, Lord God, that we will walk obediently to your word and obediently to love. And Father, we thank you for the work of the Spirit of God who is in the earth right now as he is removing spots, wrinkles, and blemishes from us, preparing us as a bride without spot, wrinkle, or blemish, removing those things from our lives that are displeasing to you, Lord God. And we trust you for it. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let me have some altar ministers come. Anyone want to come and just have someone in agreement with you? I know I've been shaken tonight, and I think we all have been challenged by the word and what God is saying to us. You want someone just to stand in agreement with you as you press into God, go deeper into God, surrender more to him, and let him have his way in our lives. In Jesus' name.